Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. And I'm in Ephesians, that great book, chapter number 3, Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 13 through 19. And I don't know how this is going to go, but I pray I know how it's going to end and someone will get in the family. That's my goal. Someone get into the family of God. Listen, you're not born a Christian. You're born again to be a Christian. So you must be, Jesus said, you must be born again. And so a natural birth is one thing. I'll not get ahead of myself. You found Ephesians 3 and verse 13. Shout amen. Amen. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. It's for your benefit. Don't Paul's saying, don't be tore up at my tribulation. Listen, I'm trying to help you. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Whose name? Of whom? The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom? Who? The whole family in heaven and in earth. That helped me right there. The whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, we love you, and I thank you for the day, Lord, and I thank you, no matter what comes, though you slay me, yet shall I trust you. Lord, I can trust you. I can't trust myself or nobody else, but I can trust you. So I'm trusting you to help me in this message today, Lord. I pray you'd touch my heart. I pray you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue and preach me inside the bounds of the writ. Help me be accurate in the scripture. And Lord, for the one here today that's not in the family, I pray, God, before this service is over, that there'll be someone or two or three come and call on the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I bless you for that, Father. I need you today, Lord. Help me for your glory. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. And amen. Now, quickly, keep this in mind as I share these messages in the next coming weeks. What Ephesians is, I've been over this so much. You've had it in Sunday school. You know this. Ephesians is an epistle written from where? Prison. Paul's writing from Rome to the Ephesians at this time. Some think it was actually the Laodicea church. I believe it was both. But it was tagged with the name of the Ephesians. Why? Paul had a great ministry in Ephesus. He was there longer than I can recall than he was anywhere else. Nearly 3 years Paul's preaching. If Paul was ever called a pastor, it would have been at Ephesus. But I believe Paul was a pastor to all the Gentiles. He said, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul's writing this letter from there, and here's what he's speaking of. If I outlined this book quickly, here's what I'd call it. First, he'd say the way into the body that being the body of Christ, the church, the family of God, the way in. We're saved by grace through faith, period. We're saved by grace through faith. That's just how it is. You don't get in any other way. You don't get in by doing anything. You don't get in by not doing anything. You get in by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If there was something I could do to get me in there, I could brag about it. So let's look at this. If that includes doing something to someone to put them in the body, that's a work. Faith is without works. Faith without works is dead. So there'll be some works that will accompany that faith, and you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's the way, Ephesians, you'll find the way into the body on into the middle of the book, and where we're going to be in the next few weeks is this. It's the walk in the body. It's how we live once we're in the body. Brother Gordon done an excellent job in Sunday school this morning teaching us just how bad we are and how good he is. So it is this. It is the walk in the body. It is what God's expects of me once I come to him by grace through faith, and he puts me in the body. And we're baptized to get in that body. We're baptized by one spirit into how many bodies? One body. There's no denominations in heaven. That's going to train wreck some of them. Are you still with me? Somebody said, you ask that all the time. You know why I ask that? So I'll know if you're still with me. But also then toward the end of the book, and many of you have heard me preach this, it's been preached, it's been taught here, it's the war in the body. And we know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know what we war against things we cannot see, but the evidence that we're in a war is what we do see being conducted or being worked by those that we're warring against. So here we are. We know that in the book of Ephesians, you'll find the way into the body, you'll find the walk in the body, and you'll find this, the war that goes on within our body. We, in the body of Christ, there's a battle ensuing. We are in a war, and we lose a battle or two along the way, but the war has already been won. The war has been won, and we are the victors. How is that? Through Christ, not of ourselves. I'm glad to be on, Gabe sang it the other day, I'm on the winning side. I'm glad to be on the winning side. So we have here, Paul's speaking to them concerning the walk in the body, and here's what he wants them to do. He wants them to be well and strengthened and full and seeing what's the breadth and the height and the depth. He wants us to have understanding. Why? Because that strengthens us in the way. The more we know, the more strengthened we are. I think it's Hosea. He told them, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They didn't know, and it cost them greatly. It'll cost us greatly. We're not here. We're not in the entertainment business. We're not here. We're not here to promote individuals. We're here to promote one man, the person, Christ Jesus. But to us that are saved, you know what we are? We're a family. We're a family. Sister Janelle sings that song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We act a little strange. We do things strange. How many people in here, don't raise your hand. How many in here would agree right now with just a thought that you got some strange people in your family? We got some raising their hands. They're proud of it. We're a peculiar people, and we're zealous of good works. Now, if I'm going to preach about the family of God, I think if I'm going to do this thing and do it right, Brother Bobby, I would have to do this. I would have to today preach on the first family. The first family. There is in the Word of God, you want to know where we come from, how we began, how it all started, just go back to the first family. The first family is this. Let me define, if I may, I want to give a definition of family. In the Greek here, the family is this. It is patria. It means this, paternal descent. Paternal descent. That's how you get a family. It is descendants from parents. Webster calls it this. It brings it. I love Noah Webster. It brings it in more into our thinking. Noah Webster defines the family as this. Persons who live in one house under one head, including parents and children. Parents and children. We're going to learn in a minute how we get children. He also, that's definition one. He follows it up with this. Those who descend from one common progenitor, the human race, are the family of Adam. So we know from him, for as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That was Adam. So that's how we came into this cursed thing Brother Gordon talking about today. Don't leave me yet. So here we know that it's from this, from a progenitor, one that it comes from, and it is a paternal, someone from paternal descent, and they live in the house and they have a head. Sounds to me like we're talking about the church. Christ is the head, we are the body, and we all come from Adam. He started this thing. You won't go far into the Word of God, and you're going to find this in Genesis 2 and 24. You're going to find where the Lord is referring to the family here. He said, because of this, they're going to leave their father and their mother. You know what that is? That is a definition, or that is an example of the first family. It began with a father and a mother. It didn't begin with two mothers. It didn't begin with two fathers. It began with a father and a mother. Anything outside that is outside the realm of what God considers a family to be. It is the progenitor. It had to come from somebody. They ain't never been two men made a baby. Never. Amen. Nor has there been two women made a baby unless one of them went to the hospital and got inseminated by a doctor. And so we have the example of a family. Some won't like that. I'm not apologizing for what the Word of God says. He said this, because of this, because when he ordained marriage, and that's what that's a picture of, he said he'll leave his father and his mother and he'll cleave to his own wife. I could stay right there for 2 months of Sundays. Preach about giving them wings and letting them go. I couldn't beg my son into singing a song, testifying. I had to bribe him into testifying one time. I said, it's New Year's watch service. You're going to have to testify. Say something about the Lord. He got up and said, Dad told me I had to stand up and say something about the Lord. You just shot the whole thing. Boy, he moves away from here. Todd Black and I, it's a long story how we met and years ago down in Florida. And I call Todd. They're going to move to Spartanburg, South Carolina. I call Todd. Todd picks them up, carries them around, shows them, helps them get them a house. I mean, everything. They wind up at Todd's church. I hear one day Todd said, hey, I got your boy leading singing. I said, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's leading the singing for me. He wouldn't ever leave the singing for me.
Pat said, Dad, he could grow under you, but he couldn't fly. You got to let him go. Got to let them go. Why? Because they're not yours. I'm going to get into that in a minute. They don't belong to us. So Jesus confirms this in Matthew 19 and 5, and Jesus says the same thing. They'll leave the father and the mother, and they'll cleave to their own wife. That's the picture. That's how it ought to go. Why? God knows best, and here's how he made it. My Uncle Lyle Ledbetter told Brother Delmer one time, he said, you're doing good, Delmer. Train them up and send them out. Let them go. Delmer said, I want to keep them. Lyle says, that's not how it works. Randall's gone this morning. Corbin's not here anymore. You know why? They're fulfilling what God called them to do. I'm proud as punch. Gary's not here. Avery's not here. I could just keep going down the line. The preachers that's passed through here, praise God, God filled them up, sent them out. The family is this. God gathers us. How precious is the family? The definition of family. Number two, the directive of the family. In Genesis 1:28, long before the sin had ever come into them, they'd been touched by the tempter. Long before that, in Genesis 1:28, God had said to the man and the woman, be fruitful and multiply. That's what the family's supposed to do. Just be fruitful and multiply. And don't abort them. Be fruitful and multiply. Why? God says this in Psalm 127:3. He said, and here's why, Paul's children are an heritage of the Lord. Do you know what that means? They belong to God. He said, all souls are mine. They belong to God. God just lets us borrow them for a while until we train them up in the way they should go, and we turn them loose, and then they go multiply and train them up. Now, we can make a spiritual application with this, that it is this. It is not just speaking in the natural realm. I think you can see the church all over this. I don't know about you, but the head, the body, fruitful multiplication, that's what we're after this morning, that somebody that's not in the family of God would get in. That's God's directive for the family, is to this, to be fruitful and multiply and train them up in the way they should go. You know what blesses me greatly? It's when I get up from praying and I see them kids here all over around their daddies on the altar praying. They're not going to learn that in a lot of churches, but bless God, they're learning it here. You know what lots of this old preacher's fuse, them little old kids are bringing? Hey, some of you young people need to get busy. We need some more boys around here. There's quite a deficit. We got 8 or 10 girls to every one boy. We need some help here. Follow the command of God. I don't think that's out of order. Richard done good, but all his boys are grown. But they're bringing girls in. You're doing good, Matthew. You're doing good. Are you in the family? And if you are you reproducing anything? Now, I'm no soul winner like Chris Rumfeld. Chris used to introduce himself at meetings. We'd done a lot of meetings back 10, 15 years ago together, and they'd say this, my name's Chris Rumfeld, I'm a soul winner. And I'd go to Walmart or somewhere with him, and it'd take me an hour and a half to get back, and I needed to be back 15 minutes from the time I left. I went in and got him one day. I went in and got him and said, Chris, we're going to have to go. He's got his arm around some old guy back there at the wall. He said, you need to be saved. I said, I know he does, but I need to get back. He's a soul winner. Brother Junior's a soul winner. But I've led a few. But I think if we all got busy and took this to heart, and we're part of the family of God, and we're fruitful and multiply, we'd target us someone before this year was out and say, I'm going to get them for Jesus before this year passes. Because I'm afraid in the modern Christian realm, soul winning's taking a back seat to COVID and crisis and finances and just a lot of things. He said to be fruitful and multiply. Are you still with me? I've lost part of you, but some of you are hanging on. I want to preach for a few minutes. This is more like a Sunday school lesson than a message, but it's where my heart's at today. I want us to consider this. You won't go far into Genesis, you're going to find this, the difficulties of family. It's not just the definition of what it is, and it's with a head and a mom and daddy, parents and children, whatever they might be. Or some aren't blessed with children, but that doesn't exclude them from the spiritual realm of being fruitful and multiplying for the cause of Christ. So here we go. Now, consider this, not just the definition and the directive of the family, but the difficulties that comes with families. Some people say, I don't want no kids, they're nothing but trouble. Well, I've found this to be true. Now, I've seen a lot of preachers' kids that were heathens. And somebody said it's because he's hanging with the deacon's boys, is what somebody told me. I don't know if that's true or not. But for the most part, the men that was true blue, Brother Gordon, no matter how far out in left field those boys seem to have gone, or those girls, I've seen them in later years in life circle the wagons and come back home. Over and over and over, I've seen them way out there. I wasn't no preacher's kid, but I was way out there. And the prayers of parents and grandparents brought them kids back, praise God, to the thing they'd learned in their youth and understood. And they knew from the very beginning, Tony, that it was this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the blessed Bible tells me so. Praise God. And we come back to that, we circle, we come in, and we know that it's true because of the Spirit of God, and He woos and draws us in. Praise the Lord. But some people say, I don't want that trouble. If you got children, you'll have trouble. Can I ask you a question? Was you any trouble to your parent? You won't go far into the Genesis, speaking of the first family, you'll get to Genesis chapter 4, verse number 3, and you're going to find the first recorded act of worship. You're going to find Cain bringing what he had grown from the ground to the Lord, and you're going to find Abel bringing what God had given him. Because if God didn't give it, the lamb the sheep would never have a lamb. It had to come from God. And he brought it, and God was pleased with Abel, but he was displeased with Cain. And you're going to find this. You're not going to only find the first act of worship. You're going to find the first record of someone being wroth or angry. And here's the thing. So Cain was this. Cain's failure. The failure of Cain made him angry with Abel. That hadn't changed none. Buddy Cutshaw gave one of the greatest illustrations of jealousy or covetousness I've ever seen in my life in a little Sunday school class with a bunch of kids down there. and he blew up a balloon and brought it in there and gave it to one kid in a room full of children. Nobody in that room liked the kid that had the balloon. They wanted a balloon. And he said, it's not for you, that's their balloon. And in a minute, it's pandemonium in there. These kids are having a fit because one's got a balloon. If he's got a balloon, I want a balloon. I thought that don't go far from adults as well. They got a new car. I ought to have a new car. How come their house is 6,000 feet and I'm living in a trailer? We ain't changed much. But when he got them calmed down, he said, he went around and he said, well, what do you want? They said, I want a balloon. He said, you can't have theirs. Would you like a balloon? Oh, yeah, I'd like a balloon. So he'd pull his pocket, have his pocket, blow it, and gave them a balloon. Pretty soon they got the idea. All I've got to do is ask. I don't have to want what they got. I just have to ask for what I want. My word, don't that sound like a Bible? I read that somewhere. You have not because you A plus. What if Cain had said to the Lord, can I get a lamb? Can I have a lamb? I believe the Lord would have given him a lamb. But he's mad at his brother. We got no right. Listen, don't be mad because they give something to God and you didn't have it to give. Just ask God to give it to you and you give it to God. And here's what we find. The Lord asked him a question. He said, hey, the sin lieth at the door. What would that answer be this morning? Does sin light your door? And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So the answer would be this, yes. Yeah, but we're Free Will Baptists. We think you ought to live right. Everybody that's a real Christian thinks you ought to live right. I don't care what their denomination is. I said, if they're a real Christian, if they have the Spirit of God in them, that as Brother Gordon taught this morning, draws you from that into Him. Are you still here? You know what you have in the first family? If the first family had it, that's listening to God. God's literally, I believe, literally speaking to them. They're hearing from God. God's speaking to them. And they're in communication with God. And you know what they had, Brother Carl? Had trouble. Difficulties in the family. We could resolve a lot of our difficulties if we just go to them and say, look, I love you. I love you. The church family, the natural family. Just resolve the issue. Here's a verse in the Bible that no one likes. Esteem others better than yourself. That's what Paul said. Number four. We've got the definition of the family. We've got the directive. He tells us what he wants us to do. Be fruitful and multiply. Go out and get them. Compel them that my house might be full. Now I know COVID's a hard time. It's a hard time inviting people. But it's strange. If we had the ones back that was here last week, man, we'd have a full house again. But it seems like we're like a yo-yo. We're up and we're down. That doesn't change the directive. Go out and get them. I can't imagine not knowing that my son and my daughter-in-law and soon to be that little boy Colin didn't know the Lord. I'm satisfied that all three of my siblings are saved. If I didn't know that, it'd be a hard pill to swallow, Brother Gordon. But it takes some action on our part in order for that to happen. Somebody has to remind them. How shall they hear without a preacher? You're preaching whether you believe it or not. What you say and what you do before them is a message. You know what the family had here? If we stopped right here, there'd be no hope. This thing, close up, just close the book, let's go to the house. But there was a deliverer for the family. You know what the Bible says? Seth begat Enos. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Enos is born, and here come the bloodline. And when you get to Luke and you begin to read the lineage of Christ, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find Seth begat Enos, or Enos, and then Seth. And Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. Where's that at in the family? This is from about 2005. I want you to listen and see if it fits today. 2005, I think, is when this came out. There's a special edition, and this is not something that I'm an advocate for, but Newsweek magazine, they're way out there in left field. But I want you to listen to what came out of it. The American family does not exist. Rather, we are creating many American families of diverse style and shapes. In unprecedented numbers, our families are unlike. We have fathers working while mothers keep house, fathers and mothers both working away from the home, single parents, second marriages bringing children together from unrelated backgrounds, childless couples, unmarried couples, with and without children, gay and lesbian parents. That's not what God had in mind for the family. That is not what God had in mind for the family. You know what? Listen, if you're here today and you got a mama and a daddy that love you, whether it's their first, second, third go around, I'm not getting into all that, but if you've got a mama and daddy in the same house and they love you more than they love themselves. You know what they said in 1960? That here's a statistic. In 1960, there was like 80% of the people that was married by the time they was 21 years old. And they stayed married for the sake of the children. God's idea of the family is a daddy and a mama and children. God's idea for the church, the body, He's the head. Christ is the head. We're the body. We reproduce. The church is like a mother. There's not many being raised on mother's knee. I think we can see this. I think it reflects the condition of the church today, Brother Gordon, that many have missed the very thing that brought Christ and the understanding of the Bible into our lives. And it was a mother or a grandmother, or a faithful father who took them all to church. If you've got a mama and a daddy that love you today, and you're in that house, friend, you are a blessed individual. As Verena plays something, I want you to bow your heads with me just briefly here this morning. I want to ask you a question. Are you in the family of God? You know how I got into the family? Into the McCoy family? Dean McCoy was my daddy. And Louise Ledbetter McCoy was my mama. And just like the Bible said, God made them one flesh, and Mike McCoy is the product of that. And I was birthed into this world, and I became part of that family. But just like the natural birth here today, if you've never been spiritually born, you're not in the family. How sad would it be for the family to go to heaven without you? How sad would it be throughout eternal ages you remember you had opportunity to be born into the family of God and yet you chose to reject it. Is there one today, just before we sing, would like to slip out of your seat and come forward and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need to be born into the family of God. I'm outside the family, but I want to be in the family. I don't like it out here but myself. Everybody else is going, but I'm not going. I need to be in. Would you come this morning? Would you just get up and come to an altar and call? Look, say, I don't have to come forward. Well, the Bible said if we deny him before men, he'll deny us before the Father. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. That's why we encourage public professions. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Would you come? Brother Marcus, come and get us a verse and chorus of that song right there. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.